In less than 1 week, we put together a task force with parents. But by coincidence or by luck, one of the parents were me that was already in the smart city and very well connected with technology. Another father, he owns an internet company in the region. So in around 10 days, we put the whole system of public education in our region digital, just with volunteering. This is a smart city. This is putting together the stakeholders, solving the problems. Doesn't matter if it brings or not business. This brings quality of life.
Hi, Smart Community friends. In this episode of the Smart Community Podcast, I have a great chat with Renato De Castro, a smart city expert and the author of the book City Smart Up, A New Era of Smarter Cities. He is currently located in the Middle East region, working as a smart city senior advisor at RMA, advising local government entities and developers in smart city planning. Renato tells us about his background in and passion for smart cities, the changes Renato has noticed in this space since 2009. We also discuss the natural process of smart cities before Renato tells us what a smart community is to him. Renato then tells us about the task force he helped start with his children's school and other parents, which set up their region for digital schooling when the COVID-19 pandemic hit Italy, and the personal benefit he got from this experience, as well as the benefit to his region and community. We then discuss the importance of resilience in communities, especially since the COVID-19 pandemic. And Renato tells us all about his dissertation and guide to building smart cities through Smart Up, and the four Ps: people, public, private, and partnerships. We finish our chat discussing the emerging trends of localization in our communities, more investment and efforts into tech, and more focus on human-centric communities. As always, we hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed making it.
Welcome to the smart community, smart regions, smart towns, and smart cities. It's where we live, work, and play. With smart communities, the future starts today. Big data, smart mobility, emerging trends galore. The Smart Community Podcast is what you're looking for.
Hello, Renato. How are you today?
Hello, Zoe. Good morning. And yeah, I'm very fine. Thank you. How about you?
I'm well. I'm very well. It's Friday afternoon here. So, you know, can't get much better than that. And, you know, I'm super excited to have you on the podcast because I have been thinking, well, we've been trying to get on the podcast or at least meet up at some point when we've been in different places around the world. And we finally made it happen. So I'm excited about that.
It's my pleasure. It's true. Yeah, I think we are connected since 2017, have been trying to meet, and probably we even, you know, were in the same airport in some situations, but we could not get to do this. But today, yeah, fantastic. It's really, really a pleasure.
Yes. And back in the day when we could travel and airports were, you know, second homes, nearly back in the, 2019 situation, which feels like a lifetime ago, but we made it happen. We're in the virtual world now. So let's start with you. Can you tell us about your background and what you are passionate about?
Sure. Great. Well, it would be a long, long story. I mean, I'm a Brazilian guy with an Italian citizenship, and then I'm now based in Dubai, and this is the 9th country I live abroad. So to tell the whole story from Brazil, passing through South Africa, China, Argentina, Portugal, England, Germany, I mean, it would be. But I think that, but let's start from the end. I'm really, really deeply passionate about smart cities. And I think that my background, I can tell a little bit when it started. And it was exactly in 2009, I was living in China. And I got my first consultant's contract with the government to develop a strategy to internationalize cities. I mean, it was the Brazilian government. They were preparing the cities for the World Cup and the Summer Olympic Games they have in a decade there. And so they were looking for benchmarking around the world, and they hired our company to do this. And it was a big challenge because we were already very deep in internationalization strategies for companies, but not for cities. And then it popped up the concept of the smart city. It was still, let's say, it was still not a hype in the world. and mainly in China. China was talking a lot about infrastructure, but not about how technology would be just a driver, not the final, let's say, objective. And yeah, it was a challenge. And I left this world of internationalization, and I got really deeper in the smart city. So I would say that, yeah, I've been dreaming and living this concept of smart cities since 2008, 2009, and I'm totally deep in love about the concept.
I'm going to break my traditional questions here. What's changed in the smart city space from 2009 to now?
Well, I think that, first of all, the concept got a little bit more mature, and I think that the world started understanding that there is no smart city. I mean, the concept of smart city is just a way to frame a big change in the mindset. I mean, there is no dumb city, so there is no smart city, and this is a process. So I believe a lot in smarter cities. We can deliver continuously a process of making our cities smarter, and this is totally oriented to quality of life. So smart city is just about making our cities more livable and increasing the quality of life. But yeah, we work as consultants and advisors for this process. And most part of the time, your clients and people that hires you, they expect you to come with the plan to change the world and deliver something. And smart city is not final destination. It's a journey. It's a process. And so I think that this is the change. I think society is becoming smarter. Cities, by consequence, it's going the same direction. And there is this somehow wrong feeling that we are doing something proactively. I think it's a process. We are part of this process. We can be drivers of this process, but it's a natural process. If you take the pandemic, you mentioned, yeah, 2019 was a hectic year for me. I did, like, I don't know, 40 or 40 something speeches around the world. I visited 20 countries in 2019. And we had these fantastic lists of smart cities, rankings, global rankings of smart cities. And when it comes to COVID, we saw that we faced that most part of these top tier, first tier smart cities in the world, Barcelona, New York, London, they were the cities that suffered most with the COVID. So they were very smart, yes, but they were not resilient. And I've been, you know, putting resilience as a pillar for smart cities, I don't know, since when I started on the staging in 2015, 2016, but people were not paying attention. It was very soft skills and soft concept. Now it's very clear that, yeah, I mean, technology is important, but come on, city is a set of people. So we must put people in front as the most important part of the smart city process.
Well, that really leads on nicely, and you've already touched on this already, but let's go there. What is a smart city, or what the term I like to use these days is smart community? So what is a smart community to you?
Yeah, I've been joking or playing with these concepts since I started becoming public on speaking about smart cities, saying that I didn't have, or I still don't have, official definition, academical definition, because I'm just to finish my PhD on smart cities and I'm struggling on this. And so I have a kind of romantic or romanticized definition that smart cities are places where everything conspires to make your life better. What it means is that under the perspective of a citizen, they don't need to understand what is behind a smart city or the technology. They just must understand that life now is better than yesterday, and they have a very good faith that they will be increasing more and more. Basically, smart city, in my definition, has five big pillars that we must sit smart city on it. First of all, it was, it is, and to be more and more about technology. Technology is important, but it's a driver. It's not the main. Maybe in the end of the 60s in the United States, when these terms started being forged, smart city was technology, was companies trying to sell for city solutions. Nowadays, definitely not these anymore. Second is, most part of the, or great majority of the projects that they saw that successed were projects that the citizens was the center of the project. So, I mean, citizen-centered projects should be based or should be a pillar for a smart city. Third one is that there is just one main objective, quality of life. So you can have several secondary objectives, but the main objective is enhanced quality of life. And then the last two ones are a little bit more modern or more related to our times. The first is smart city is totally related to what we call new economies. So creative economy, sharing economy, circular economies, these should be in the, let's say, in the core of a smart city project in your city. And the last one, and more than proved now, smart city is about resilience. So there is no smart strategy without a resilience strategy being developed at the same time. So these are, for me, the pillars of a smart city. And then you can put whatever definition on these, because again, I think that's the concept. Thinking smart city as just a concept is the best way to frame something that's much bigger than just a concept.
Yeah, I like that. And I think resilience is so key and something we're talking about more and more. And then the idea of putting these new economies on it, so the circular economy, the sharing economy, that's also a really interesting way to link that in as well, because I think that is also super key and super important as we move forward into this, you know, this future of our communities, essentially. And just picking up on a point you mentioned much earlier was about the natural progression. I really like that as well, because I think when we talk about smart cities, smart communities, sometimes, you know, the terminology gets a bit too much for people, and particularly the technology, and it's like, oh, we don't need more technology, but this technology is here. And what we want from smart communities is you don't necessarily need to understand all the ones and zeros, but what we need to understand is that we have a say in it, and that we have a say in shaping what we want it to be in our cities and communities. So I think combining all those together is a really nice definition, like you said. And, you know, also I've asked over 200 people this question and I get a different definition each time, but actually those pillars are really important.
Well, I totally agree. I think to illustrate more about what I mean about these is that, I mean, COVID has been a big challenge for the world and to reshape our, not only our cities, but the way we interact in our cities. We have been talking about the five helices, the five main stakeholders in a smart city that are government, private sector, NGOs, academy, and citizens or organized civil society. And I think that my experience during the COVID was exactly what I really believe that how our cities should interact and should be live elements. When I was exactly here in Dubai, I came to Dubai on the beginning. I mean, actually, it was, to be precise, 21st of February last year, to celebrate the birthday of my daughter. It was just a 1 week holiday. It was the last holidays before going back to the normal routine of traveling. And I took 3 months since I think it was December 2019. As 2019 was a very hectic year for me, I took 3 months at home, working a little bit at distance, taking care of my family. So the last trip would be this one to Dubai. It was, and we left Italy exactly in the day that we had the first death in a city nearby my city. We saw the escalation. We were here. We saw the escalation through the news. We almost get blocked in Dubai. And when we returned to Italy 5 days later, we got the lockdown in our region. So my city was in 10 kilometers far from the center of the COVID in Italy. Even Amazon was not delivering in our city because we were related to that zip code of the region. I don't know, 1 or 2 days after I arrived there, I realized that it was a big challenge. The kids were not going to school that was supposed to be returning from Carnival to school. So I called a colleague, I mean, a friend of mine, a friend of family, that was the vice rector of the school system there. And I told her, look, well, I think that we are going now through a very complicated moment that will not change so drastically in the few months. So if I can help you somehow, maybe we can find the technology to put the schools digital, public school, we're talking about public school in Italy. And after that, in less than 1 week, we put together a task force with parents that at the end, it, by coincidence or by lucky, one of the parents were me that was in, already in the smart city and very well connected with technology. Another father was, he owns an internet company in the region. So, I mean, we in around 10 days, we put the whole system of public education in our region digital, just with volunteering. This is a smart city. This is putting together the stakeholders, solving the problems. Doesn't matter if it brings or not business. This brings quality of life. And then I worked basically till December last year. So I worked like 8-9 months as a volunteer to the Italian government, heading this task force, started with education. Then we went to economic recovery. This is a smart city. Society should take care of the issues. We cannot expect it. So it's a change of mindset. I deeply, deeply believe on this. And I got to prove myself that, yeah, this is the way, in my opinion.
Yeah, wow. I've like got goosebumps thinking about how this all would have come to fruition. And yeah, it makes me really like, yeah, like you said, that is a smart city. That is a smart community where you can actually bring the skill sets together that are required to solve this really big problem that you had. And knowing that, you know, you could bring in the right people and the parents are there, but they also have these different skill sets that are really important, and the education and whatever else, and bring the technology in. But obviously there's so many other things, communication, bring in the curriculum, you know, people, the right time, et cetera, the government, the business, the school children, how can you engage with them? All those type of things. Yeah, wow.
Yeah, well, and there is this feeling that it was volunteering and you didn't get paid. It was exactly the other way around. I mean, I think that this probably was one of the most well-paid jobs that I have done in my life, because it was community building. It was, you know, it was using my skills, something that I was always very well paid to do, in something that I was collecting the benefits. My family was feeling the benefits, you know. So it was, yeah, we created channels in Facebook to promote the local shoppers. And it was really, really good. It was also, as being a Brazilian living in Italy with an Italian family in a small city, it was, there was always that feeling that belonging, you know, the feeling of belonging that was always in a very gray zone. But now I feel more citizen, much more than others there. And also the society see me, the local community see me really as much more active citizen and, you know, part of their culture, community, and much more than others that was doing nothing during this situation. So yeah, I think it was a very good exercise. And I'm sure that this was not exclusive or unique for us. This happened around the world. And yeah, probably we are going to be evolving faster and better now. Just because of this, we had the possibility to experience what in theory we have been talking a long time about smart cities. You know, it's about people. It's about community. It's about belonging. It's about engaging, you know.
Mm. Yeah, and I like that, like, you know, you're getting paid in community benefit, which benefits you and your family, right, rather than the dollar bills. But what a rich experience. And then, like you said, it's not just unique to what happened with you and your family, but it would have been happening all over the world. And if we had people that have this smart community thinking, which we know we do all over the world, then they jump in, they get it done. They start the groups wherever they happen to be online. They start sharing that information, you know, they start all those things that are required to build that community and sense of community and belonging, like you were talking about as well.
And you know what? This is there. I mean, there is faith. I think that the human beings, the humanity is still in the way to correct the track, you know, because my experience, and I always had this feeling that was just a matter of leadership, but people are willing to do this. People are willing to do the good. People are willing to cooperate. They need someone to, you know, to paint the half face like Braveheart in blue, take the flag and run, and people will run with you. It's just a matter of this. And you know, when I started my PhD, I started developing a thesis called City Smart Up. So what is behind this? I think that as back to the new economies, as the world has changed and proved that there is a new way to do business and to create wealth, I think that this mindset of startups, we should bring also to our cities in the way we shape, the way we manage our cities. So I've been lecturing and consulting on city smartups since 2016. And basically, let's build or let's work on the concept of a smart city under the perspectives of a startup. If your city was a startup instead of a city, how would you manage this? You know, so I developed the four steps that it's like a guideline for cities to go through this direction. And it seems that works. And now I think it's much more relevant than it was in the past. So first of all, cities are competing among themselves. So we are living now what we call the new city-state era. Again, we are back to the city-state concept. Cities are more important than countries, right? I mean, we feel and we act in a political way in our city, not in our region or in our country. We vote, we talk to the mayor. What really interacts with me in our lives is the city life. So first of all, city need a pitch. So in order to compete, in order to engage, city must understand what is the persona of the city, how city could be understood and felt by the citizens. And then they need a pitch to promote themselves. Second, keep it simple. Forget it, these, you know, 100 pages master plans that you want to change the city for 2100. Come on, we have problems that are now in the daily life of a city. We need to start solving these problems. And then, of course, we need to have a track. But these 5 years planning, even for the startups, doesn't work anymore because everything changed. So we need to have a plan. We need to have a guideline, but we need to act on a daily basis in a simple way. The third one, probably the most important one, is find partners. I mean, before asking how much is your budget to do a smart city, it's what your city can offer to partner with other stakeholders to make it happen. You know, I remember I participated in the process of Rio de Janeiro, my hometown, when we created the first command center there. And when the contractor switched on the command center, there was a big problem. Rio just had at that time like 700 cameras on the street. And it was ridiculous because if you compare to, for example, London has 16,000 cameras. Moscow has 189,000 cameras. Rio, 700. And the contractor told the mayor, look, we'll not work out. We cannot even not talk about controlling the traffic, but forecasting using the tools of command center with 700 cameras. And at that time, seems very clear the linear way to think, okay, let's put more cameras, let's install more cameras. And back to this time, installing cameras, just to double the quantity of cameras would cost more than the whole command center and would make even no sense again, because 1,400 to 700, no difference. And what they did at that time, Rio had already a CDO, city digital officer. This guy flew to California and talked to Waze. And at that time, Waze had a big problem in Rio. Rio was one of the most or one of the biggest market for Waze. Almost 1 million people were using Waze, but people were using these, mainly friends were using Waze to tag the alcoholic blitz of the police for the friends in the nightlife to avoid. So Rio municipality wanted to ban Waze from the city. So Waze had a problem and Rio had a problem. So the city digital officer told Waze, look, come to us, come with us inside the command center and let's co-create the traffic. You have already 1 million people with cell phones connected to you, monitoring the traffic real time, and you pictures about the accidents and the problems. So let's do something together. So they started this project more than 10 years ago. And first of all, it was a win-win. Nobody paid no one. For Waze, it was fantastic. Waze now, it's in more than 80 countries. I was in 2017 in Malaysia, and I heard a mayor saying, we are the first city in Malaysia with the Waze traffic system. So they created a product, very important product for them, and Rio solved the problem from night to day. Instead of 700 cameras, they had 1 million people co-creating traffic. This is smart city. This is finding partners. Probably it's more important than having budget to do this, just to understand how you can partner. And the last one, you really should understand that smart city is a change of mindset. So I love the concept of the four P's: first people public private partnerships started basically being used more massively in Amsterdam, bring citizens inside the process of co-creating the city, even if you offer them the possibility to invest in the city. I would love as a citizen to put money in a project in my city, not to offer this money for free to the government because I already paid the taxes, to be partner, to be investor. So imagine if Uber had offered me to be investor in the beginning of Uber, right? So promoting these kind of, you know, PPPs, 4Ps, bringing people to part of the process of creating cities, I think that this is a very, very strong tool we have now.
Mm. No, thanks so much for sharing all that. Super interesting. And I'm, really keen to read once you finish your dissertation there. It'll be really interesting.
Looking forward to finish it. Actually, I have already finished. It's just a matter of presenting, but still I'm doing in the PhD. It's in global law. So it's in the law department. So I'm still, let's say, sophisticating the part of the law part on these and all these the technical issues. But yeah, looking forward to be defending these on July next year. Let's see.
Mm, excellent. Well, we've talked about a lot of things. It's been great. And I would love to talk more about, you know, what you're working on currently. But actually, I think we're going to zoom into the future because we don't want to go too much over time. So let's zoom to the future now and tell us about the emerging trends that people aren't talking about enough.
Okay. Yeah. Good question. First of all, I think that everything that we are going to be discussing regarding the future are trends that was just accelerated, boosted by the COVID. I don't see any important trend coming with the pandemic. It's just a matter that we are anticipating things that were naturally already to happen. So the first big trend, I think that we are going deeply, deeply local. If we had in the past globalization, I did my master's in Germany in 1999 in globalization strategies. So if the big trend in the past was globalization, I think we get already harmonized this process. And now we are in a very big trend of localization. It's not a matter that we are not being global anymore. Yeah, we are a big global network. We are going to keep the global connections, but I think that all the attentions will be paid on building community, building local, understanding what is important for my neighbor, not for the world in sense of the daily things. So you see already some important projects on smart cities in this direction, like the 15-minute city Paris, or even the super islands of Barcelona. So it was exactly, I mean, we talking about a smart city in a big city like Barcelona or Paris, it's a little bit controversial because you cannot put all the concepts together in a city that has millions of people and very wide. So the idea is to bring these in a very local perspective, and in this way, we make a quality of life higher. So localization, I think it's a very important trend. The second trend regarding investments and efforts that will be put on technology, I think that yes, technology we'll keep seeing big startups rising from the garages. But I think that these big companies of the future, mainly regarding urban solutions, they will be related to daily problems. So if you try to figure out and put it in a chart, all the growth and investments that we had in the last year during the pandemic, one of the companies that grew faster was Zoom. Why? Because Zoom, it's a company solving a pain that is a daily problem. So I think that and that's a very good news, because all these professional investors and all this money that has been in the ecosystem of innovation will be flown now to these. And for us on smart cities, this will be very, let's say, beneficial. And the last one, that also was something that we saw, I mean, rising during the last decade, but now will become more and more important, is this focus on discussing people as a center of everything. So, I mean, we have been talking about economies. We have been talking about countries. We have been talking, the future was always discussed under the perspective of the macro. And now I think that we bring these to a perspective of the one person. So how we change the settle, or how we change the world, instead of focusing the macro, we focus in the micro. I think that pandemic brought us this possibility and this opportunity to refocus our priorities. And I'm very excited. I'm very excited about the future. I was check any of my online speeches that you can find there, videos. I was always very optimistic. But now, however, we are still in a very painful and very complicated bad situation for the world. I think that we are moving faster for a better world, you know, better future.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I think there's so much more we could talk about, right? I think we could talk for many, many hours. And I do look forward to having more conversations with you. But we'll have to wrap it up there. It's been so great to chat with you, Renato. I'm so pleased that we finally got this in our calendars and we had this chat. But yeah, definitely keen to have another chat in the very near future. And yeah, I feel like we could talk for a very long time. Now, I just have one last question, which is how can people connect with you?
Sure. Zoe. Well, pleasure was mine. Yeah, I was looking forward a long time. I've been following you since 2017, 2018. I heard already all the podcasts and my colleagues like Jonathan Heikenthal and others were already with you talking. And I was really looking forward. So people can connect me basically through LinkedIn. I think LinkedIn it's a very strong tool now. I see more and more people not so skeptical as it was in the past. It's not just a social network, as we know. It's really a working tool. So LinkedIn is the one that I use most, but I have Facebook, I have Instagram, but LinkedIn, I think that I've been doing also business through LinkedIn. So it's a very good way. So very easy to find me, Renato De Castro. Google me, you're going to find it very easily. And my profile in LinkedIn is just Renato De Castro. So yeah, totally open to be discussing and talking about. You see, when you asked me in the beginning of our talk, what I'm passionate for, and it's very clear that I love what I do. And yeah, I think that I'm very glad guy to have this honor and pleasure to work with something that I love.
Yes, and that's definitely, everyone listening to this will be able to hear your passion and, you know, that you love what you do, but also you've got the expertise behind it as well to bring that forward to governments and, you know, ultimately communities, right? Where it all comes back to. So no, thanks so much for sharing all of your stories and all of your knowledge today. I've really enjoyed it and I know our audience will as well. So yeah, just one last thank you for coming on to the Smart Community Podcast.
No, it's my pleasure. And I will be waiting for you here and everyone that's listening to us. When in Dubai, come here to have a coffee and to see. We are just to start with the Expo 2020 Dubai in October. It will be from October to March. And yeah, it will be a great opportunity. Dubai is open now. And it will be a great opportunity to see what the world is planning for the future in the Expo, but also what we have been doing here in Dubai in terms of smart city. Thank you very much and looking forward to meeting you in person.
Thank you. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
The Smart Community Podcast is brought to you by My Smart Community. If you're looking for support in podcast strategy and production, workshop design and facilitation, or communication and media advisory, get in touch. Email hello@mysmart.community or head to www.mysmart.community.
Thanks so much for listening to the Smart Community Podcast. Show notes for this episode and all other episodes are available on our website, mysmart.community/podcast. If you have any questions for us or any of our guests, you can email hello@mysmart.community. You can also find us on the socials. We are on LinkedIn and Twitter @smartcomhq. That's com with two M's. If you are enjoying the podcast, please hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. And we would love for you to leave us a rating and review at wherever you listen. This really helps us reach more ears and eyes, so thank you for your support. As always, we hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed making it.
The Smart Community Podcast is what you're looking for.